Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
In yesterday's episode, we talk about the difficulty that the Chicago Bulls could face if they realistically try to make a move for Giannis Antetokounmpo and why that's highly unlikely by the Chicago Bulls. We also did talk about the Zion rumors as well. But on today's episode, I want to kind of focus more on why being a competent front office is kind of the biggest thing limiting the Chicago Bulls team, not necessarily assets or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, I want to get into some of the best non-center prospects for the Chicago Bulls in the 2025 draft. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And listen, on yesterday's episode, I talked a lot about the Bulls and their assets and realistically like ranking them against other teams and you know, things as far as the Bulls making a move for Giannis or any other star, right? Because I do think there's some common misconception about exactly how the Bulls' assets are rated and exactly how much you would have to give up for a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo to bring him in here. And then by the time you do that, what is he really playing with, right? And what's the future at that point for the team? And so, you know, that was actually met with a lot more positivity than I thought that it would be, to be honest with you. I know it's more positive and it gets more, kind of riled people up when you talk, but yeah, we got the chance to trade for Giannis, right? Whereas I'm one of the content creators who's just like, hey, realistically, it's not going to happen. Giannis would have to force his way so much to Chicago. And then even then, you know, you would have to, you know, do some other things and other the permutations. Somebody did bring up like, well, there's a third team. You have to get a third team involved. Yeah, but the whole point of a third team is that you send some assets that are less favorable to the main team that you want to trade with that are more favorable to the third team. And then you move those. Then you get some assets back from the third team that you include in the deal. The Bulls, unfortunately, like, again, you don't have the extra draft picks to give up. Everything has to go to Milwaukee in that case. So even a third team being involved, unless you're giving up one of your better players, you're still winding up in the same place, right? And this goes back to competency, right? I think overall, and I've said this many times, over the course of the last handful of years, is that it just comes back to AK and Eversley have not been very smart in how they've dealt with their assets. Whether it's players leaving, whether it's obtaining certain players, they haven't been always very smart in dealing with that. Some of the contracts they've given out have been really good, but then some of the contracts have been mad questionable, like Patrick Williams' contract, right? All those things play a part into that. But it's the competency part of it, right? How do you manage what you do have? And that's the place where, like, I've talked a lot about since the beginning of the offseason, the Bulls' $81-ish million that they have in expiring contracts. You can take some of that off because, like, we're not counting necessarily, Javon Carter's probably not going to opt out. You have Josh Giddey who, yeah, he's technically an expiring contract, but, you know, we know it's more likely that he comes back, things like that, right? But you have those expiring contracts next year. And even with that, like, the Bulls are probably not going to do a lot with that because, again, AK has not shown as of yet. Now, if he does start showing it, I'll be the first one to say, hey, AK's starting to show some of those traits that really good front offices show, but the ability to like maneuver and how you stack assets is something that AK hasn't done, right? And so it makes it more difficult to make a trade for star level players when that hasn't happened. Now, to AK's credit, he hasn't said that was their goal. That, he did say the summer of 26, right, when they have tremendous cap space, signing a free agent, probably more than likely than them trading for one, right? And that's overall the place that I do think this team is going, right? It's going to be trying to use traditional cap space to go out there and sign a free agent the old-fashioned way, you know, and then maybe in doing a sign-in trade, you may include something, get yourself a little bit more room on the deal or something like that, like they did with DeMar DeRozan, right? That was a free agent acquisition, but they worked it out to be a sign-in trade where they gave up Thad Young. Fortunately, they gave up a first-round pick swap as well in that we did get back. But, you know, then you may look to do some things, right? So other than that, I still think this is a front office that's going to play this thing really straightforward. They're going to draft their player. They may sign a veteran free agent depending with their open roster spot. Maybe that goes to their second round pick if they feel highly about it. Maybe it goes to Adama Sanogo. We don't know, right? But in when you see teams like the Spurs, like the Rockets, OKC is a different beast because they did it by trading like star-level players and getting future assets and stacking those, right? But when you see the way that teams kind of stack assets and the way they move off players, that just hasn't been the Chicago Bulls. Now, granted, they got Josh Giddey back and moving off Alex Crusoe. Really good move. You moved Zach LaVine. You got some good veterans that played really well for you in Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins. You got some good veterans there. You also got your first-round pick back in that move. Andre Drummond left for nothing. It is what it is. Derrick Jones Jr. left for nothing. You know, now he contributed to a team that made a run to the finals last year and he's contributed to a team that's in a 7-game series right now with the Denver Nuggets this season. And that just is what it is. Depending, and as long as the Bulls play this thing straightforward, those upper level trades, right? When people are like fantasizing about the Bulls trading for Giannis and Sabonis and Zion, it really is not going to happen as of right now. Now, let's say that Modest Bousillis hits a great leap in year two. Hell, let's say that the rookie that they draft this year looks much better than people are expecting from a number 12 pick or whatever it ends up being, right? Let's say those things happen. Then maybe you're able to play a little bit more free with your assets. But I do think that AK has, he's like traumatized, right? It's like PTSD. I don't think we're going to see AK give up any picks in the first round unless he really feels confident about where this Bulls team is at. And then you're trying to add something to it by going out and using your draft picks to do that. So overall, we'll see what this I don't expect this offseason to bring a lot of change for the Chicago Bulls. But I do think, well, I hope that eventually maybe you see a little bit from this team. Maybe once this team, and I've said it before, and it's more of a hope than a thing that we've seen a lot of necessarily pluses to right now. But I do think that once we do have that star, whether we acquire them, whether we develop a player that we already have or develops into one, whatever happens, right? How the Bulls get that star, I do think once we have that, you're going to see a lot more aggressive of a AK in Eversley, right? Well, I don't even know where Eversley is. Like, put out a sign. Has anybody seen him? but I think that's when you're going to see kind of more aggression from this front office. And until then, it's kind of just a wait and see approach. Now, that could work off, may not work out, but ultimately, we'll see what it comes down to. You guys can let me know your thoughts down below. With that said, I do want to move on, right? We are about to head heavy. I said this was the last week. We're not going to go heavy into draft content. The draft content's coming. I can't wait. I know that the draft lottery is 10 days away, so that's going to be really big. It'll be a week from Monday. That's when the draft, we'll know exactly where the Bulls are going to pick. That's an important thing. That's a very important thing to know exactly where the Bulls are going to pick because all teams are going to pick because then you can kind of better predict the draft board, right? But today's episode, I want to talk about, yesterday I talked about the need of a center, right? And why getting a athletic, defensive, switchable big is so important to how fast-paced teams play, right? And I also talked about how, compared to the other teams that that play a fast-break style like the Chicago Bulls, and the fact that they have multiple athletic, taller, lengthy wings that defend at a high level, or bigs that defend at a high level. But in that episode, I also talked about the fact that the Bulls, if they use this draft pick on a different position, I still think you're looking for similar skill sets. It could free you up to maybe go after a Miles Turner or make a trade for another player to try to get in. I know people have brought up Naz Reid. I'll cover that probably on Monday's episode. I do want to talk heavily about Naz Reid and the potential of the Bulls drafting or signing Naz Reid. But What are the best non-center positions for the Chicago Bulls in this draft, right? And, well, players, not positions, because I'm not really looking at guards. During the draft process, I will look at the best guards for the Chicago Bulls, but I hope this is a draft where the Bulls don't necessarily go guard unless it's clearly the best player available. Like I said, if the Bulls pick number, somehow get into the lottery and pick number four, you're probably at that point deciding between like an Ace Bailey and a Trey Johnson as the best players available at that time. And I think at that point, you have to consider drafting one of those guys because of what they bring. But with that said, let's get into this. The best non-center players, basically forwards, right? Whether they're small forward or power forward or tweeners that can play next to Modest Bouzelis. That's really what this list is, right? The guy first on the list that I don't think is going to fall to the Bulls' range at all is Carter Bryant out of Arizona, 6'8", 225 pounds. When you look at this guy, you think about a 3-and-D athlete. That's exactly what this guy is for. He's going to come in and be right there and one of probably the best defenders in this draft. He has one of the lowest usage rates in this entire draft class as well, right up there with Kaman Maloak also, right? So you think there's going to be tremendous upside there just because he wasn't used a whole lot in college, right? His usage rates wasn't great. His off-ball defense, amazing. His athleticism, crazy. His shot blocking, one of his biggest strengths. The ability to space the floor, really good when it comes down to that. He's a young guy, 19 years old. He'll be 20, I think, by the draft or by the start of the season. And this the thing that stands out the most about him is his defense, is the defense that he brings and the plays that he makes on the defensive side of the ball. And he's a lob threat. You give this guy to like a Josh Giddey, right? It goes really well for it. But he uses his athleticism as well to block shots. That shot blocking versatility, that's something that's really good there. The chase down blocks, all those type of things, it's really good. And while Modest Bouzelis is growing as an on-ball defender, I do think that Carter Bryant has a lot of that already for it, just ready made, right? So that's a really good thing. Right now, he's going to be a play finisher on the offensive side of the ball and a spot-up three-point shooter, maybe to come off some screens as well. His shot mechanics, all that looks really, really good. But again, like I said, I think this is going to be a guy that doesn't fall to the Bulls' range. I don't necessarily see him falling. Again, wait to see how the draft board goes. Maybe lower than eighth at the absolute worst, but we've seen players fall before. Combines, those type of things could push players further down. So, look out for that one. But this is a guy that I think if the centers are off the board, this would be a hard player for the Bulls to pass up when it's there. You look at his comps. All right, Tari Eason is one of his comps in that. Aaron Gordon is one of his comps when you look at how the draft experts have rated him. I really like this guy. I think he could do really good for the Chicago Bulls. But again, that's a non-center prospect. I just want to keep saying that for some.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Fraîche, le spécialiste des produits frais. T'as vu? Il y a un nouveau magasin Fraîche à Redon.
Oui, à nous les produits de saison bien frais et les petits prix chaque jour. Et aujourd'hui, le kilo de courge butternut est à 79 centimes.
79 centimes le kilo de courge butternut? Ok, on fonce. Fruits, légumes, viande, poisson, fromage, traiteur. Fraîche, à Redon.
Ou 1,29€ le kilo si coupé. Origine France. Pour votre santé, limitez les aliments gras, salés, sucrés.
It pops into this episode, they're like, but Hayes, non-center, basically forwards is what we're looking at here. The next guy that I want to talk about that I think could really be a guy that the Bulls do take a look at, of course, is Rashear Fleming. Rashear Fleming is a guy that I love a lot of his upside, a lot of it, right? And I think that ultimately the thing that kind of hurts Rashear Fleming is that he doesn't have a straightforward position. Now, that is something that maybe could benefit for him depending on how you're looking and where you're looking to draft him at. But there's just some questions around Fleming and his position that I do think are maybe one of the reasons why if he does slide, he would slide. If, notice I said if he slides, that would be one of the reasons why he slides is because of that question around what is his position going to be at the NBA level. Now, you look at the tenacity that this guy plays with, the defense that this guy plays with, it's absolutely crazy when you look at the way that this guy works, right? Also has that 3-and-D ability as a big man, right? At 6'9", 240 pounds, 7'5 wingspan, there's a lot that comes down to this guy that really just, it plays into what the Chicago Bulls could possibly need and want at that position. I really love his upside. I love the fit next to Modest Bouzelis as well. I think he brings a lot of what you need from a Modest Bouzelis in that case. The question that you have when you look at him is that, like, the floor. What is the floor going to be? And that's the question, right? Whereas we're looking at 3-4s, he's a 4-5. He can get steals. He gets blocks. He can guard multiple positions. He can splice the floor a little bit. He has really good athleticism. Those are things that really could work out well for him. Like, some of the comps for him are guys like Jermichael Green, right? Taj Gibson, if Taj could shoot three-pointers, I would love that guy on this team. And so that's the thing where you look at. He has a rare and a different kind of mix of skill set. And I think that is why, you know, he could be on the board here for the Chicago Bulls. And I like him a whole lot. I like Rashear Fleming. He's actually one of my favorite guys in this draft. That wingspan, the ability to block shots, it's all really great. You just have to worry about what that position is going to end up being. And if his best position does end up being center, do you feel comfortable rolling him out there as a small ball center with a great wingspan that could still, like the question should be there is, can he be Bam as an undersized center? And I don't know if he has the athletic profile of that, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. Another guy, Colin Murray Boyles, out of South Carolina, 6'7". 20 years old, has a really crazy wingspan as well. This is a guy that I really like. He's drawn comparisons to Draymond Green. I really hate when players draw comparisons to Draymond, not because who Dre is as a player, but Dre is so unique as a player that it's kind of hard to draw those comparisons. You remember when Denzel Valentine got guard Draymond, comps in that draft? Maybe this is just a little bit of trauma there, but tremendous feel for the game. Off-ball defense is tremendous. He can bang around in the post as well, and he's a big body that uses his big body. He uses his size, and you know the question though is that how many people with Colin Murray Boyle's skill set has actually went on to have big success in the NBA? And there's not a lot of teams that I'm not a lot of players that have that. Now he does have the Swiss Army knife type upside, right? But those Draymond, he better hit on those Draymond comparisons, because if he doesn't, it's going to be some concern. He's also drawn comparisons to Ron Artest, which I actually really like, especially for this team. I like that a lot. You just got to look at those questions, right? Is he going to be one of those guys that you draft and, like, regardless of the position he plays, that he just fits? And he could be one of the things that helps your team go, even though if he's not the reason why your team is winning a bunch of basketball, I mean, it could even still be that. So I think you got to look at Rashear Fleming. He's a guy that I really do like a lot in this draft. I think he has tremendous upside. And the question is just, how much does the upside pay off? The next guy, out of France, one of the youngest guys you're going to find in this draft, 18. I think he's going to even be 18 some at the start of the season. 6'9", Noah Essengue. I finally got the pronunciation of his name correct. 6'9", 195 pounds. The question when it comes down to it is this, is who and what is he going to be at the NBA level? Now, he is almost picture perfect of what you want next to Modest Bouzelis. He brings a lot of where Modest is kind of weaker at right now. We don't even know if those are going to be Modest's weaknesses going forward, but a lot of where Modest is kind of weak at, he's strong at as a rookie, right? And then so you can see that pairing, that 3-4 matchup, regardless, and either one can play either position when it comes down to it. He has length, he has speed, has a great nose for the ball as well. He is a potential star, and some drafts have him going as low as in the 20s. Now, I don't know if the Bulls would go ahead and take him at 12 with his projections go at 20. I don't know what happens there. Again, most of these guys I'm talking about if the centers are off the board, right? But he's 3 days older than Cooper Flagg. He has amazing speed in transition. His ability to create as well in transition is really good there. He just is a really good basketball player that you see tremendous upside and room for growth at, right? Creating space in his own shot may be one of the more difficult things for him in this next level, and that's where you're going to have some questions for him at. But he's a great playmaker. In the opportunities that he's gotten, which isn't a whole bunch, he get his defensive ability, the defensive stance that he gets in, and you already see the instincts as an 18-year-old. With the defensive instincts that he has, that defensive floor is extremely high, and the ceiling is ridiculous. It's out the board, right? And so the thing that you look at when it comes down to it with him is going to be how much of the refinement of his game is going to come, meaning how good of a player is he going to come on when he has to create for himself. And maybe he's just never that player. There are players in the NBA that have never really turned into really good, create their own shot players, but that have really great NBA careers. So I think when it comes down to it, that's what you want to look at. He's grown comps to everywhere between from Tayshaun Prince, which I really like that comp again, especially for this Bulls team specifically. I think that he's a guy that has that upside that you look at it. He looks the part, already has an NBA-made body. Yes, he's going to need to put on some weight at being under 200 pounds to really bang with the forwards overall in this draft. But I think like he has the what you look at as the archetype of a modern-day switchable forward that can guard multiple positions, play either forward position as well. That's something that I love. And when you pair that with Modis Bouzilis as a forward duo, that's really where you're finding something special at, and we've talked about it before. Having forward duos now is almost what having backcourt duos was 10 years ago. Having those, because of the switchability in the game of basketball now, if you have forwards that can guard up and guard down, that adds so much to your defense and your offense if they're both solid. And we have to be great offensive players, solid offensive players, because then the other team has to pick, all right, who are we putting our better perimeter defender on? And that's kind of where you would be going to in this one. A lot more of a kind of, you know, a versatile both offensively and defensively forward combination. And that's if the Bulls are looking at that. Again, this is all relative to if the Bulls do go non-center in this draft, which I do think them going best available is a really high up thing in this one. But I think ultimately, like, center's probably, I hope, is still higher up on the priority list for the Chicago Bulls. But you can never count that out. And I think these guys offer some of the best non-center players for the Bulls. And again, I guess I should say non-center, non-guards, because I'm also looking at guys that aren't necessarily guards, because Jeremiah Fears would absolutely be on this list, but he's more of a guard. But we'll be talking about, we'll be getting into the guards, and Jeremiah Fears is absolutely going to be one of the players that is on that list when I break that down and talk about that. But before we get out of here today, you know, we've been doing our player grades on the season. Somebody asked if I was going to be doing the players that were traded from the Bulls. No, I'm only going to be doing players that finished their season still a member of the Chicago Bulls. So for the guy that asked that in the comment section, I'm not doing any of the other players, right? But I wanted to figure out where to end this week at, right? Who to end this week on in covering. And I wanted to go with Zach Collins. Zach Collins is a player that it's really, I don't want to say it's hard to judge his impact, because it's clear. When you look at the plus minus, when you look at the on-off court, Zach Collins had an amazing run here for the Chicago Bulls. And when he was on the court, he positively impacted the game for the Bulls in so many different ways. And it really kind of reinvigorated the fact that the Bulls need to go out and get, this is why a center is why so many people are talking about, because Zach Collins isn't the most amazing defender. He's not the best rebounder, right? He's not even the best offensive player. But the way that he came in here and he performed for the Chicago Bulls and gave that ton of effort, when he was on the court, the Bulls had a positive point differential of plus five. When he was on the court as well, because of the defense and his ability to get into the teeth of the, or to attack the players that he was defending, we had opposing teams had negative 10. 10 less points per 100 possessions when he was on the court. Their effective field goal percentage went down by 3% when he was on the court. Their turnover rate went up by almost 3% when Zach Collins was on the court. Zach Collins was at, this was probably the best defensive stretch that he's ever had. Now, offensively, we're actually 5 points worse per 100 possessions when Zach Collins was on the court. You know, take that for what you will. Our effective field goal percentage actually went down when Zach Collins was on the court. That doesn't feel like what I saw from Zach Collins, but that's what the numbers are telling us, right? Overall, though, when you look at Zach Collins and what he brought to this team, if the Bulls do move on from Nikola Vucevic and they draft a young center, I'm not mad if he ends up coming in here and the young center comes off the bench and we start Zach Collins. I'm not mad at that. As a starter for the Bulls last year, Zach Collins averaged 14 points, 8.2 rebounds, basically a block, basically a steal per game, on 58% shooting from the field, 29% shooting from three, didn't like that part of it, and 84% shooting from free throw range. Zach Collins performed really well for the Chicago Bulls team. And that is like, and again, I'm looking at this as just what he brought for the Bulls. And he brought some really good things for this team. He performed well. He paired with Josh Giddey well. Him and Josh Giddey built a chemistry that was really well and worked out for this team. But ultimately, like, the stats are still the stats. And the eye test is still the eye test. And so I got to give Zach Collins a B minus. Like, because I didn't, and part of that is my expectation when we signed Zach Collins wasn't that he was even going to have that level of positive impact for the Bulls. Zach Collins gets a B minus for me. Again, relative to his role, I think Zach Collins came in here and gave the Bulls everything that they could possibly have wanted from him personally. But you guys can let me know your grade for Zach Collins down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.